Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you will enjoy listening.
So I think we would agree that a good habit of mind would be one that could help us train in being more joyful more of the time, to have a joyful, happy state. Being able to enjoy our life is something that we all have an aspiration to do, but it seems like sometimes it's impossible to do so. So as you know, those of you who've been coming for some time know that Buddha's principle is everything depends upon our mind, and we can view anything in a way that is beneficial if our mind is strong enough to do that, if we train enough. And as Geshe-la said many times, he says, with familiarity, everything is easy. Okay. So we're going to see or look at a way of bringing more joy to our life. And the practice is not hard to understand, but it is not natural to do. And it's a view. I mean, sometimes we do it, not completely unnatural. Sometimes we do it, but we can do it more often and more deliberately in order to find, like, give buoyancy to where we are in a particular moment in our life all the time if we can. So, enjoying, means to bring, apparently. So I was told by somebody who is a good wordsmith. And joy, we know, but to bring joy, to enjoy. So I think we sort of don't bring joy necessarily deliberately, because that means I'm bringing it to myself, to bring joy. I think we sort of seek it, don't we? We seek to enjoy. And that's very exhausting and expensive. It doesn't always work. Okay. So we want to be able to have the mental power to bring joy to our lives whenever we can. Okay. Why not? It doesn't cost us anything. Okay. Just mental strength, definitely mental strength and familiarity. Now, in order to feel happy, then obviously what we have to be able to do is look into our life, at ourselves and others, in a way that does bring joy. Okay. Because we at the moment are with the people we're with, and we may think, yeah, I'm just trying to change that. Get rid of the kids, move in this partner, change that partner, move the job or whatever. You know, we're trying to get joy, aren't we? Because you've really stopped doing it now for me, but you seem quite like you'd do it better. Exhausting, you know, very expensive and very stressful. Okay. So to bring joy to our life now doesn't take such huge amounts of change. Because we can't change those that are around us, you know, but we can decide to have the way we view them is different. So the training that we're going to engage in, I'm going to frighten you first of all, okay? The training that we're going to engage in can be seen as a training in faith. Oh, my Lord. No, I knew it was going to get religious sooner or later. You know, that nun with the yellow outfit is going to get religious. Okay, but don't panic. Okay, don't panic. Because the Buddhist explanation of faith is very beautiful, actually. And faith is a naturally virtuous mind. So it means when we develop it, we feel beautiful. Okay. So faith, this is how this particular perception of faith is, when we deliberately have a perception that prevents the perception of faults in our desired object. OK, okay, faith, naturally virtuous mind, that prevents the perception of faults in the desired object. So how does that help me in my daily life? Okay. We want to be able to be happy around the people that we're around, to be inspired by the people that we're around, to be able to keep learning, advancing, being interested, engaged, in joy from everyone. How can we do that with the people that we're around currently, we may say to ourselves? Okay. So we have to recognize that it is a definite decision to perceive something. If you perceive faults, that is not a brilliant habit, and it's very easy to have. The perception of faults causes us to get angry and upset and negative and depressed and discouraged, whether we do it with others or whether we do it with ourselves. Okay? That's one aspect. Another aspect is when we see others, we can't even like them very much. You know? But we could. The thing is that we could. So how do we begin to enjoy being around those people we have all sorts of different dynamics with? Some we sort of are competitive with. Some we just don't like because they're so irritating or dislikable or so obviously bad at their jobs or whatever it is that we've been focusing on. Okay? And so what we focus on becomes more vivid. Stamp that on your heart. Whatever is not necessarily the truth, it could be there, but it doesn't need to be so vivid. What you focus on becomes more vivid. And guess what? What you focus on will become more vivid, and you will begin to take on its characteristics. Don't want that. Because we are influenced by the people that are around us. Okay? So the practice that we want to try and engage in is so helpful, okay? Because it lifts our mind, okay? And we can do it with everyone, but we have to be quite a seeker, you know? We have to determine, okay, I am deciding to find something that I really admire in this person. I admire. Now, if possible, you know, because there are many things that we can admire in others. And when we start admiring, unless we are deliberately holding our mind not to perceive faults, okay, the admiring can make us start sneering. Why have they got that? They don't deserve that. Oh, they're awful. So stuck up, that those big houses, big cars. Get off the road. You know? And so we can see people's talents, abilities, qualities, and we can not admire that makes us feel uplifted, but we can feel resentful and jealous and upset and cross with them just for having some talent that we don't have. Being praised in a way that, oh, they're praising them, why aren't they praising me? They're praising them, that means I'm worse than them. It doesn't mean anything, it's nothing to do with you. Get yourself out of it. Just because someone is praised, it does not have a bad effect on us. But looking in the wrong way, the distorted, selfish mind makes us feel bad because somebody else is being praised. That's insane, isn't it? It's totally self-torture. Somebody is better looking, has a better partner, looks like that they're happier, the Facebook nightmare. You know, it's like, I'm not happier. I feel terrible now because I feel like my life is terrible. Why? Because I saw a lot of people enjoying themselves. There's something wrong with that. Because we haven't protected our mind. What we've allowed to arise is actually jealousy and competitiveness and feeling like I'm intimidated, my life isn't as good because my life doesn't look like them, when we know that it's just a snapshot, you know? But because we haven't protected the way we are viewing others with a virtuous mind, deciding not to perceive faults, to twist our mind into a painful state when instead we could put it into a beautiful state that helps us. But that beautiful state is delicate to begin with. And jealousy is like a thorn in the heart, isn't it? Crash of lightning. Suddenly, we didn't want to get jealous, but suddenly we find ourselves being jealous, intimidated, discouraged, upset, because they seem to be having a wonderful life and I seem to not be. Even though our pictures that we posted were probably doing that for the same to other people. And the life that we have to many others, people are looking at us, think, oh, lucky them. You know? Lucky them. And that's okay if we can think lucky them with the right mind. So the training that we want to try and get our mind to first of all want to do is to be really happy, happy that others are happy, have good qualities, you know, are able to experience brief moments of happiness in this difficult, wild life that everybody has. And then when they have a brief smile, we can be happy for them instead of feeling intimidated or upset by what appears to be their life. No? But this doesn't necessarily come naturally. No? Sometimes it can, but sometimes because our mind isn't being protected, we need to work at it. So jealousy is the most ridiculous waste of mental space that we can ever imagine, because it doesn't change the situation. It doesn't help us. It is like eating poison and, you know, wanting somebody else not to be happy. Why would we want that? We don't. The person who we really are doesn't want that. But the jealous mind can't help it and then feels like I'm not good enough, worthless, my I'm not, and discouragement and disappointment set in. That we need to correct, because that is definitely self-harm. A joyful, somebody with a lot of joy in their mind delights in the happiness of others, whether we know them or not. Okay? Delights. When we see others happy, enjoying their life, you know, doing well, we are happy for them to be happy. Okay? So it's a decision, you know, I think we've said in the past, Geshe-la, our teacher, says, we need to make this decision. I myself will make myself happy. This is one way that we need to. When we're surrounded, and I think in, you know, the Western world, we are actually surrounded by people who Buddha would describe have a lot of fortune. And we'll want more. But we would say have fortunate lives, have lives filled with merit. We can do what we want mostly. We have friends, we have jobs, we have incredible freedom in our lives. And although we all think, well, I should be there and not here, and, you know, look at my friends are doing, it's like actually together we have extraordinary good fortune. So when we're with others with good fortune, instead of being like feeling jealous or intimidated or less than, because others seem to be doing apparently better than, we definitely need this practice, whether they are better because they seem to have a better family life, they seem to have lovely relationships, they seem to have popularity, they seem to have a certain amount of resources, whatever it is that we perceive. We need a training that deliberately protects our mind from viewing it in a negative way. Okay? And sees qualities and is delighting in those qualities. Okay. So we see something that we want and then think, oh, I don't like them because they've got what I want. We don't even know we're thinking that, but that's what happens. And then because we want it, now we're a bit upset. And so when our mind is a bit twisted, it doesn't see good things. So the good things that others have make us feel painful mind. Doesn't do us any good. Very unhealthy thinking. So now we are deliberately looking at others' good qualities. We can do it on their good qualities. I would say a good place to start is inner good qualities that you perceive them to have. know, inner good qualities. Because we see inner good qualities, we don't become cynical and, well, they were greedy, they behaved badly to get that, you know, or have all this other excuse why we can't be happy for them. Okay. So inner good qualities is a good place to start. Eventually, we'll be able to do it with everything. Yeah, but inner good qualities. So when you see somebody, and we need to really allow our minds to not have a very, very high standard. Oh, no, they weren't patient enough. You know, they weren't generous enough. No, they really weren't. They should have given much more than that tip. It's like, no, they gave a tip. Just they gave a tip. That's great. But they can afford so much more. Stop it. You know, so it's not 100% because that when we try, when we put the expectations so high, what it just shows that there is some residual resistance in our mind that doesn't want to be happy for another. No, so we want to stop that. Any good quality we see in another, we can delight in. Any good quality, doesn't matter how small. So you can go for a walk around Southampton, maybe you'll, and you'll see maybe some drunken people, you know, drunkenly gurgling to each other, you know. And you can just think, look, friendship. That's great. That's lovely. You know, look for something and see it and be happy and delighted you have seen a good quality. So whether it is patience, so maybe, you know, you're in the queue and there's a mum with a kid and the kid's really being one of those annoying little whiny, snotty, you know, screaming on the verge of having a fit. And the mother is looking exhausted, trying to, you know, she looks like she's dead on her feet, trying to. And, you know, we just go, get away, move away, be far away from me, you know, soon. with very little respect. Instead, we go, look. So much energy required to not shout at a child, to not lose it. If you had a grown-up person doing what the child does, you'd be furious, you know? But the parent who looks after the child who has been relentlessly bad-tempered for possibly the whole of their life, you know? You know, just screaming and guzzling and unhappy and not, but the mother is still there trying to do her best. We can say, let's look at that. That's well done. Good job. You're still trying. It's hard. Because what we don't notice in people, because we're so critical, is how much people hold back. You know, they're trying to remain patient. They're trying to be giving and loving. They are doing their best. We just see a pocket, don't we? We say, not good enough. That's not good enough. I don't know what standard we come from, some sort of higher realm out there that we are obviously perfect at, but we have very high standards. And so because of that, this superiority doesn't allow us to really begin to see people. It's like get down there and just really see people without any judgment or expectation and begin to seek good qualities, human qualities, seeing how people, you know, your colleagues, they turn up, they work, they try, they don't shout. And we were just, we complain, don't we? But they're there. Hey, well done. You did another day of drudgery. Well done. Uh-huh. You know, and really begin to see qualities where we normally don't notice them.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.